This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا ومن كفر بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الفاسقون وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم من خاف أدلج ومن أدلج بلغ المنزل ألا إن سلعة الله الغالية ألا إن سلعة الله الجنة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable علماء اكرام respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, the Ummah once again finds itself in the midst of a crisis, such a period, such an era, perhaps unprecedented, a time and an era wherein the oppressed cannot be called a victim, wherein the tyrant cannot be called an oppressor, where actions are justified and reactions are criticized, where the murderer knows not why he is murdering, the murdered knows not why he has been murdered. لا يدري القاتل فيما قتل ولا المقتول فيما قتل. A time when the voices of truth are suppressed and the truthful ones are marginalized, when lies and falsehood is being promoted. And in the midst of this crisis, in the midst of this challenge that is stalling on the ummah, that is straining on the ummah, the challenges of the preservation of iman are intensifying. Hence the Quran says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Indeed, Allah tested the nations that preceded you, so Allah could make known those that were sincere, and Allah could expose those that were liars. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا. And the challenge that stared at the Muslim Ummah in the battle of Uhud, let us not forget, Allah says, it was to make known those that were sincere, and it was also there to expose those that were false. And hence the current happenings also makes it known to us that the challenge and the test that is coming upon the ummah, that is straining upon the ummah, safely we can say you and I are living in a time from which our pious predecessors had asked Allah protection against. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma la yudrikni zamanun, Allahumma la yudrikni zamanun, la yuttaba'u fihi al-alim wa la yustahya fihi min al-halim. Allah, let me not live up to see an era where divine guidance is ignored. Allah, let me not live up to see an era where shamelessness becomes the order of the day. Brothers, you and I have find ourselves in the midst of this very era. The only thing from which we can take solace is that what is to come is worse than what we are experiencing. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, "Ma'rufu zamanina munkaru zamanin qad mada wa munkaruhu ma'rufu zamanin lam ya'ti." That what we consider noble in our times was considered a sin in the previous times. مَعْرُوفُ زَمَانِنَا مُنْكَرُ زَمَانٍ قَدْ مَضَى وَمُنْكَرُهُ مَعْرُوفُ زَمَانٍ لَمْ يَأْتِ. And what we consider a vice and a sin and transgression today, rest assured in the years to come, this will be considered pious, virtuous and noble. There was a time which I can recall to when a youngster walked in the masjid with an earring on his ear. Then all gaze went on to him, the poor child is of caste, what has happened to him, which family he comes from. Allah forgive, today this has become part of the musallis of our masjid, where youth with earrings are in our masjid. The other day a young boy came to me, he touched my heart and he brought tears in my eyes. A boy at the age of 10, he says, Maulana, I want to ask you a question. Tell me, what punishment has Allah kept for that male who wears earrings? Tell me, what punishment has Allah made? Brothers, Maulana mentioned that if we will not stand up, Allah will replace us. I got back a month ago from Australia. As I landed in Perth, amongst the first people to receive us was a young boy by the name of Suleiman, an Australian river, in the young prime of his life, subhanAllah. In fact, my last meal was at his house before we left from there to Sydney. In his 20s, Allah gave him hidayat, he accepted Islam. He kept on reading the Fazail-e-Amal at home for 2 years after he accepted Islam. And after 2 years, his wife decided to accept Islam, who was of Italian origin. Both husband and wife, the wife is in absolute hijab. The young boy is in absolute the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's such an example that when I looked at the simplicity of his house, it brought tears into my eyes. We left Perth, we flew to Sydney. It's a long flight, it's about 4 hours. We got to Sydney. It was around about Asr time. We performed Asr at the airport. And thereafter the program was just, I was briefed on the program that we will be going to the masjid. There will be a lecture after Maghrib. Thereafter there'll be snacks. After Isha there'll be a lecture. There will be supper. In the morning there'll be a lecture and then the onward flight. So I even made a suggestion. I said, can't we just rearrange it? Maybe we have snacks now and then we can have the lecture. So the host told me that apparently the brother that has invited you, he's fasting. So I said, khair, anyway, whatever his wisdom is, I'm hungry, but I'll respect his, whatever his intentions are. After Maghrib Salah, my program was over. So we went to this brother's house. We had snacks at his place. A young Australian revert in the prime of his life, in his 20s. So after the we had our snacks and we left from there to another place in Sydney for the program. I asked one of the brothers that were with me, you know, this brother, mashallah, he was fasting. What fast was he keeping? It wasn't Ayyam Ibid, what sunnah, what nafil. He said, after the brother accepted Islam, for the first 3 years, he could not fast. He found it very difficult. But Allah gave him such hidayat, now he's making qaza of all those 3 years fast. You will be astounded to know how many of our sisters have qaza of their fast sitting on their shoulders for years. You will be shocked to know how many sisters have. And you're a young boy in the prime of his life, an Australian revert, and fasting 90 days consecutively. So really the current crisis that has come upon the ummah and has stalled upon this ummah, when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sang few couplets and he said, ذَهَبَ الَّذِينَ أُحِبُّهُمْ فَيَا دُنْيَا عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ لَا تُذَكِّرِينَ الْعَيْشَ فَإِنَّ الْعَيْشَ لِي بَعْدَهُمْ حَرَامُ إِنِّي رَضِيعُ وِصَالِهِمْ وَالطِّفْلُ يُؤْلِمُهُ الْفِطَامُ. Then listen, those whom we honored, cherished, revered have left this world and they moved on. So then he addressed the world, he said, listen, my companion and my leader Abu Bakr has gone. Don't ever try to tempt me and mislead me and beguile me with your temptations. My condition with Abu Bakr was like a child that was being suckled by his mother. And suddenly his mother died tragically and he had to be instantly weaned off the chest of his mother. Can you imagine the anxiety, the agony of that child? Sayyidina Umar says at the sudden death of Abu Bakr, I am like a child that is left who had to be weaned off instantly, and that is my same condition. Inni radhi'u wisalihim wa at-tiflu yu'limuhu al-fitamu. One day Sayyidina, speaking of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu looked at Bilal and then he started recalling the difficulties that Bilal radiallahu anhu went through. And when reviving the devotion of Bilal, he could not exclude the contribution of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. In fact, deen in its essence, if we study the life or we study our deen, we cannot exclude Sahaba from the equation and we cannot exclude Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu looked at Bilal, and while thinking of Bilal, he thought of Abu Bakr. So he said, Jazallahu khayran an Bilalin wa sahbihi atiqan wa akhza fakihan wa aba jahli. Jazallahu khayran an Bilalin wa sahbihi atiqan wa akhza fakihan wa aba jahli. Ashiyatan hamma fi Bilalin bisawati wa lam yahzara ma yahzarul mar'u dhul aqli. Bitawhidihi rabbal anami wa qawlihi. Shahidtu bi anna Allah rabbi ala mahli. فَإِنْ يَقْتُلُونِي يَقْتُلُونِي فَلَمْ أَكُنْ لِأُشْرِكَ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ خِيفَةِ الْقَتْلِ فَيَا رَبَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالْعَبْدَ يُونُسٍ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى نَجِّنِي فَيَا رَبَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالْعَبْدَ يُونُسٍ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى نَجِّنِي ثُمَّ لَا تُبْلِي. He said, Jazallahu khayran an Bilalin wa sahbihi atiqa. May Allah reward and grant a wonderful, handsome reward on behalf of Bilal and the likes of Bilal to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who purchased the freedom of Bilal. Wa akhza faqihan wa aba jahli. And in the same breath, may Allah disgrace Faqih ibn Mughira, who was the uncle of Abu Jahl and likewise Abu Jahl. Ashiyatan hamma bi saw'atin fi Bilali. They intended the nasty plot against Bilal. Walam yahdara ma yahdaru al-mar'u dhul-aqli. And they did not even display the courtesy of any ordinary human of sane logic and intellect. For the simple reason, bi tawhidihi rabbal anami, because he believed in the oneness of Allah. And he testified the finality of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And hence Bilal said, فَإِن يَقْتُلُونِي يَقْتُلُونِي فَلَمْ أَكُنْ لِأُشْرِكَ بِالرَّحْمَانِ مِنْ خِيفَةِ الْقَتْلِ. If they choose to murder me, let them do what they so deem correct. However, I will never ascribe partners with Allah, regardless what this iman demands from me. Brothers, the price of preserving iman at every juncture was different. In the battle of Badr, it was the sacrifice of their lives and their wealth. And as Hazrat Maulana explained and explored the condition of Hudaybiyah, the current happenings across the globe compels us that we return back to our sources and we study Quran and Hadith objectively and passionately, and we understand what is the demand of the day and what does Allah want from us. Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majma'in, Alqama ibn Harith radiallahu anhu, comes to visit Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah had favored them. One day Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam gave a talk to the Sahaba. So they all became emotional and they started crying. Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu was also present. He could not cry for some reason. So he came to Nabi alayhi salam and he said, O Nabi of Allah, I regret the fact that my heart could not cry when you gave a talk. And I often say that among Sahaba, the one that could not cry was the odd one. Just as Allah forbid in our gatherings, the one that cries is the odd one. The one that cries is the odd one. People look at him, by, is he alright? Is everything okay? What's happening? And in Sahaba, the one that could not cry was the odd one. So he said, O Nabi of Allah, what is the matter? I could not cry. Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam said, Subhanallah, Jumudul Ain min qaswatil qalb, wa qaswatul qalb min kathratil dhunub. وكثرة الذنوب من نسيان الموت ونسيان الموت من طول الأمل وطول الأمل من حب الدنيا وحب الدنيا رأس كل خطية. The lack of tears is because of hard-heartedness, and hard-heartedness is because of excessive sinning. And excessive sinning only comes about when a man becomes ambitious in this world. And a man only becomes ambitious in this world when he loves this world, and when he embraces this world, it is the mother of all evils. Well, at the time, the world is so desperate today for fame. The world is so desperate for fame, people are excelling in evil to be recognized. You get the fattest man in the world. Just to come on record. With the longest nails, just to come on record. And Nabi alayhi salam is sitting with Abu Zar. Nabi alayhi salam is sitting with Jibreel, and Abu Zar walks by. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, Hada Abu Zarrin law sallama alayna la radadna alayhi. Your companion Abu Zar happens to walk by. I guess he didn't identify and recognize me. However, if he had greeted me, I would have responded promptly to his greetings. So Nabi alayhi salam said, Ata'arifuhu ya Jibreel, you know Abu Zar? So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam answered and he said, Walladhi ba'athaka bilhaqqi nabiyya. I swear by that Allah who chose you for prophethood, Abu Zar is more famous in the skies than the earth. Wallah, the time has come that we be recognized by the malaika. The time has come that we, when Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam was swallowed by the fish, فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبَعَثُونَ. Allah says he was swallowed and he had done an act that was worthy of blame, mulim. At that time Sayyidina Yunus supplicates Allah. Allah asked the malaika, you know who this is? So the angel said, صَوْتٌ مَعْرُوفٌ مِنْ بِلَادٍ غَرِيبَةٍ. We know the voice, but we're not familiar with the location. We know the voice, but we're not familiar with the location. So Allah said, this is my servant Yunus. So the angel said, your prophet, the famous common Yunus ibn Matta, who was sent to Nainwa in Iraq, Mosul. So Allah said, yes. They said, oh Allah, if it is that person, then we are very familiar with his voice. We collectively, unanimously intercede, accept his intercession, O Allah, and grant him deliverance. Brothers, today you find it is a sad reality. It is a sad reality. People have contacts in the parliament, people have contact in the business world, people have contacts in everything, but there are so many people that don't have contact with the learned and the pious, that when the janazah is lying in the house, there isn't one person to lead the janazah of that man. They don't have close contact with any pious learned scholar, that there isn't one person to perform the janazah of that person. So anyway, Alqama ibn Harith radiyallahu anhu, he comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asks him, who are you? Sahaba ikram, Allahu Akbar. So he said, O Nabi of Allah, we are believers. Nabi alayhi salam said, substantiate your claim. You're a believer, prove to me that you're a believer. Today we have different symbols that we claim to say that we are believers. And we console ourselves on the grounds of this identity that we are Muslims. We heard now as recent this year in the tsunami, I had the opportunity to go there. When this catastrophe came and there were thousands of people that were lying and mass graves had to be dug, one of the greatest symbols through which Muslims were identified, by virtue of which they were privileged with ghusl and janazah namaz, was the beard. Hazrat will bear me out. How they were identified was their beard, their Islamic dressing, and that is by virtue of that they enjoyed the correct ghusl and they enjoyed salah. In this very recent times. So Nabi alayhi salam asked Alqama, you're a believer, prove to me that you're a believer. He said, خَمْسَ عَشْرَةَ خَصْلَةً خَمْسٌ أَمَرْتَنَا بِهَا خَمْسٌ أَمَرَتْنَا بِهَا رُسُلُكَ خَمْسٌ تَخَلَّقْنَا بِهَا فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وَنَحْنُ عَلَيْهَا إِلَى الْآنِ إِلَّا أَن تَنْهَانَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Nabi of Allah, I can give you 15 qualities to prove to you that I'm a believer. Ask ourselves today, if we are asked, what is the proof that we are believers? خَمْسٌ أَمَرْتَنَا بِهَا. 5 we heard from you, 5 we heard from your messengers, and 5 we heard from the very era of darkness. But we honor it, respect it, and revere it. However, if you choose to forbid us from it, we will abstain from it. Nabi alayhi salam said, run me through your 15 qualities which you refer to the qualities of Iman. قَالَ وَمَا الْخَمْسُ الَّتِي أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهَا. What are the 5 qualities I told you? So they said, O Nabi of Allah, أَمَرْتَنَا أَن نُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ, to believe on the oneness of Allah, وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ, the angels of Allah, وَكُتُبِهِ, the books of Allah, وَرُسُلِهِ, the prophets of Allah, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ, that good and bad comes from Allah. Everything comes from Allah. إِنْ أَعْطَيْتَ فَإِنَّ الْمُعْطِي هُوَ اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ مَشْكُورٌ وَإِنْ مَنَعْتَ فَإِنَّ الْمَانِعَ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ مَعْذُورٌ. O my brother, if you accept my proposal and you grant my visa and you approve my job, then in essence Allah has approved it, however you'll be appreciated. But if you refuse it, in essence Allah has declined, however you'll be excused. وَإِنْ مَنَعْتَ فَإِنَّ الْمَانِعَ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ مَعْذُورٌ. قَالَ وَمَا الْخَمْسُ الَّتِي أَمَرَتْكُمْ بِهَا رُسُلِي. What did you hear from my messengers? أَمَرَتْنَا رُسُلُكَ أَنْ نَشْهَدَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ, to believe in the oneness of Allah. وَنُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ الْمَكْتُوبَةَ, to establish the salah. وَنُؤَدِّي الزَّكَاةَ الْمَفْرُوضَةَ, and to discharge the zakah. وَنَصُومَ شَهْرَ رَمَضَانَ, and to observe the fast in the month of Ramadan. وَنَحُجَّ الْبَيْتَ إِنِ اسْتَطَعْنَا إِلَيْهِ السَّبِيلِ, and to perform the hajj if Allah grants us the means. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, tell me the 5 qualities that you have from the era of darkness. Listen to this, brothers. He says this was found in us from the era of darkness, but we held on to it after we accepted Islam. When Shaykh al-Hind rahimahumullah was released from Malta, you read the episode of Malta when he was imprisoned, a very, very emotional episode in the lives of our predecessors. And amongst the first groups that he addressed after his release, going back to the 1920s, was a group of theologians and ulama. And he said, during my stay and during my captivity, I gave much thought to the decline of this ummah. And I reflected at length over the pitiful condition of this ummah. And I have safely arrived at 2 conclusions. And this was a gathering of ulama, hundreds of theologians. Can you imagine the anxiety this statement had aroused amongst them? A man who was a great scholar of his time. He said, after much thought, I have safely come to the conclusion that we have 2 problems. Number 1, we have deserted and abandoned the Quran. And number 2, our internal fighting which of course is as the result of the first. He further said, an ummah that could have been a billion strong, unfortunately has fragmented into billion segments. An ummah that could have been, it is a sad page of our history. It is a sad reality. The internal bickering of this ummah, the dissension, the division of this ummah is indeed a sad reality. And let me add by saying, while I'm discussing this here, which family is free from family politics? The minimum in today's time, I often say, we seldom meet, we seldom socialize. I think in today's times, on the seldom occasions when we meet, if we can say good words, then too we've done a lot. We've achieved a great amount. We seldom meet, and when we meet also, it's nasty comments. Or you lost your way. How you ended up here? So we met at a janaza, we met at a wedding, it was after years, let that be polite. What was the unity Sahaba had? Imam Nawawi makes mention of it in the commentary of Muslim Sharif. Jarir ibn Abdullah Bajali radiallahu anhu says, بَيَعْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى النُّسْحِ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. I pledge to Nabi alayhi salam that I will be faithful to every Muslim. That was the pledge I made. And I said, I will live by this pledge. So one day he sent one of his servants to purchase a horse. Imam Nawawi speaks about it in the Hashya of Muslim Sharif. So he sent his servant to go and purchase a horse. And the servant went, purchased the horse for 400 dirhams, came back, gave it to Jarir radiallahu anhu. Jarir radiallahu anhu said, no, I think you've paid too little. I think you've deprived the man of his due. Take me back to the owner. Where have you heard of such people? So anyway, Jarir radiallahu anhu goes back to the owner, to the farm, wherever it was. He says, listen, I sent my servant and he purchased the horse from you. He says, correct. So Jarir radiallahu anhu said, you know what, I think you've underpriced this year. I need to pay you more. So he said, no problem, pay. If you want to pay more, give whatever you want to give. Welcome. So he said, all right, make it 500. Jarir radiallahu anhu said, no, make it more. He says, all right, 600. He says, make it more. He says, make it 700. He said, no, make it more. So he said, all right, let me double it, 800. He said, all right, here, take 800, here, have it. So anyway, as he comes out, someone meets him, congratulates him, I believe he bought a horse. He says, yes, what you paid, 800. I could have got you two for that price. He said, I also could get two for this price. However, I had pledged to Nabi alayhi salam that I will be loyal to every Muslim. And loyalty to my brother at this juncture demanded I give him more than what he deserved. Where is this akhlaq in the tradesman of this ummah? Where is this character in the businessman of this ummah? Allah has given you such talent. Allah has given you such an opportunity. And through that Allah will give you such barakat. Al-bayyani bil-khiyar ma lam yatafarraqa. فَإِنْ صَدَقَا وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا وَإِنْ كَذَبَا وَكَتَمَا مُحِقَتْ بَرْكَةُ بَيْعِهِمَا. Be honest, identify the faults. And Nabi alayhi salam's dua is with that transaction. Lie, distort, manipulate, and deceive. And Nabi alayhi salam's barakat is out of that transaction. So Nabi alayhi salam says, what are those five qualities? He says, أَشْشُكْرُ عِنْدَ الرَّخَى أَشْشُكْرُ عِنْدَ الرَّخَى وَالصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الْبَلَى وَالصِّدْقُ فِي مَوَاتِنِ اللِّقَى والرضا بمر القضاء وترك الشماتة بالمصيبة إذا حلت بالعادة. الشكر عند الرخاء. Gratitude on moments of prosperity. Allah has favored us so much, like the poet says, Allah, you have given me so much. Every time I fell short in my gratitude, you increased your bounties. كأني بالتقصير أستوجب الفضل. As if the recipe of more was ingratitude. As if the recipe of more is ingratitude, Allah. Every time I fell short, Allah, you increase. كَأَنِّي بِالتَّقْسِيرِ أَسْتَوْجِبُ الْفَضْلَ. As if you want more, be ungrateful. That is how you've dealt with me, O Allah. أَشْشُكْرُ عِنْدَ الرَّخَى. Gratitude on moments of prosperity. وَالصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الْبَلَىٰ. And patience and perseverance in moments of difficulty. Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam, what difficulties came upon him? In Sirat al-Anbiya it is written, how he persevered in that difficulty. One day his wife met with a doctor who was shaitan in the form of a doctor. And now when a person is sick, he would go to any length for cure. And this doctor told Rahmat, that was the wife of Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. She was from the descendants of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. رافقت هذه المرأة حياة نعمته وصحته وزمن بؤسه وبلائه فكانت في الحالين مع زوجها شاكرة صابرة. She was a pillar of support in his difficulties, and she stood by his side even in prosperity. And she was a unique woman. She literally was mercy. Her name was Rahmat. She was the granddaughter of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So one day she met this doctor. The doctor said, listen, I will cure your husband. I only need one thing. He must acknowledge me and say, you know what, doc, you've cured me. That's all I need. Nothing more. She said, taken. She had not fully comprehended the implications of this statement. She came home. She told my husband, you know what, the matter is sorted out. I met with a doctor. He's promised to cure you. Only one thing. He wants acknowledgement. Sayyidina Ayyub got up. And he said, that is the devil. And that is a statement of shirk. And if Allah ever cures me, I will lash you 100 times because of what you've said. His wife tells him, make dua to Allah, that Allah must cure you. He tells his wife, oh my wife, how long did we enjoy prosperity? So she says, 80 years. How long has Allah tested us? She said, 8 years. He answered, أَمَا أَسْتَحْيِ أَنْ أَطْلُبْ مِنَ اللَّهِ رَفْعَ بَلَائِي وَمَا قَضَيْتُ فِيهِ مُدَّةَ رَخَائِي. Allah gave me 80 years of prosperity and Allah tested me for 8 years. I'm shy to ask Allah that 80 years of difficulty lapse, then maybe I have the guts to ask Allah. وَالشُّكْرُ عِنْدَ الرَّخَى وَالصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الْبَلَى وَالصِّدْقُ فِي مَوَاتِنِ اللِّقَى. Honesty in moments of meeting. In Al-Isaba fi Tamiz al-Sahaba, in the first volume, there is a riwayat. When Sayyidina Huzaifa and his father Yaman radiallahu anhu were making hijrat from Makkah to Medina, on the way they were intercepted by Abu Jahl. So Abu Jahl asked him, where are you off to? They said, we're going to Medina. This was just before the Battle of Badr. Abu Jahl said, if you're going to Medina, you will add to the numbers of the Muslims, so we won't release you because you'll fight against us. So Huzaifa radiallahu anhu said, my word, I won't join the ranks of the Muslims and fight against you. He said, you give me your word. He said, I give you my word. Anyway, Abu Jahl released Huzaifa radiallahu anhu. As he gets to Medina, Nabi alayhi salam is leaving. وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ إِذْ هَمَّ الطَّائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ تَفْشَلَا وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah paints the picture of Badr. Nabi alayhi salam is on the outskirts of Medina, leaving for Badr. When the Muslims were few in number, they barely had 70 horses, 2 camels, few swords. So Huzaifa radiallahu anhu and his father Yaman said, O Nabi of Allah, we want to join you. And they narrated that O Nabi of Allah, on the way Abu Jahl intercepted us and we had an argument with him, and we told him, just to earn our release, we pledged that we will not join you. But obviously that was just so that we can earn our release. But we're with you now, we join in. Nabi alayhi salam said, you gave Abu Jahl your word, you cannot join me. You gave Abu Jahl your word, you cannot join. At a time when the Muslims needed aid the most, when reinforcement was absolutely everything, when participation in Badr, Bukhari Sharif, مَا تَعُدُّونَ أَهْلَ بَدْرٍ فِيكُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Jibreel says, O Nabi of Allah, how do you view the participants of Badr? So Nabi alayhi salam said, they are more senior than the other Sahaba. So Jibreel alayhi salam said, وَكَذَلِكَ مَنْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Just as the Sahaba who participated in Badr are more senior than the other Sahaba, the Malaika who descended to aid the Muslims are more senior than the other Malaika. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says? لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اِطَّلَعَ عَلَى أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اَعْمَلُوا مَا شَئِتُمْ فَإِنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. Those who participated in Badr, Allah has forgiven all your sins. Nabi alayhi salam told Abu Jahl, told Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, you gave Abu Jahl your word, you cannot join us. In the end, Sayyidina Huzaifa radiallahu anhu and his father Yaman radiallahu anhuma, both were exempted and excluded from Badr simply because they had committed and given their word to a kafir, Abu Jahl. You and I will find all flexibility and all concession to accommodate and to adjust and to do whatever we want to. But this is what sidqu fi mawatin al-liqa, to honor your word. وَالرَّضَى بِمُرِّ الْقَضَى. And to express joy and happiness on the bitter decisions of faith. This is what Sayyidina Alqama radiallahu anhu says, which was a common quality in Sahaba. on the divine decree of Allah Pak, what my Allah has decided for me, I am happy with it. Brothers, when a child nags, and every day he comes home and he says, Abba, you didn't buy me this, and he tells his mother, oh, you cooked this, and he moans and he groans, and my friend did this, and my friend's father bought him, then sometimes in a fit of anger we say, listen, from tomorrow you must tell your friend's father that he's your father and you his son. And you tell that auntie that she must cook for you and that's your mother. Well, if that's your frustration because your child is moaning on what you give and decide for him, I'm afraid your Allah tells you the same when you moan on what Allah decides for you. مَنْ لَمْ يَرْضَ عَلَىٰ قَضَائِي وَلَمْ يَصْبِرْ عَلَىٰ بَلَائِي فَلْيَتَّخِذْ رَبًّا سِوَائِي. مَنْ لَمْ يَرْضَ عَلَىٰ قَضَائِي وَلَمْ يَصْبِرْ عَلَىٰ بَلَائِي فَلْيَتَّخِذْ رَبًّا سِوَائِي. The one who is not pleased on what I decide for him and will not patiently endure what I put in his path, then he considers me incapable of being Allah. Tell him to look for a better Allah who deals more justly with him. Your business is not flourishing. Your children are rebellious. Everything of yours is wrong. Don't you think when that child also moans and groans, there comes to a point where you burst. There comes to a point where you also explode. Allah says the very same thing. مَنْ شَكَى مُصِيبَةً نَزَلَتْ بِهِ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُوا رَبَّهُ. If you moan on what Allah decided, you're questioning Allah's authority. وَالرَّضَى بِمُرِّ الْقَضَىٰ. And happiness and joy on the decisions of taqdeer. وَتَرْكِ الشَّمَاتَ بِالْمُصِيبَ إِذَا حَلَّتْ بِالْأَعْدَىٰ. And we will never dare rejoice the tragedy of our enemies, never mind our relatives. Today the world has accused us. We've been accused of many plans. We've been accused of many plots. And it's important we seize every platform to clear the air. Our aim and our objective is to obey Allah. We have no other goals, we have no other aims. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, whenever the Muslims fought, لَقَدْ كَانَ حَرْبُهُمْ لِإِتْمِنَانٍ عَلَىٰ أَمْرَيْنِ. Whenever the Muslims fought, it was for one of two reasons. Either their deen was trampled or their land was invaded. There has never been another war that the Muslims have ever fought. وَتَرْكِ الشَّمَاتَهُ بِالْمُصِيبَ إِذَا حَلَّتْ بِالْأَعْدَىٰ. We will never ever rejoice. The life or the loss of every life is precious to us. We honor, revere and respect life in every form. In fact, the life of an unborn child is precious to us. Hence, abortion is not part of our deen. Abortion is forbidden. Life is precious and valuable in every form. وَتَرْكِ الشَّمَاتَهُ بِالْمُصِيبَةِ إِذَا حَلَّتْ بِالْأَعْدَىٰ. We will never rejoice on any calamity, on any difficulty, on any tragedy. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this from Alqama, he said, فُقَهَا أُدَبَا كَادُوا أَن يَكُونُوا أَنْبِيَا مِنْ خِصَالٍ مَا أَشْرَفَهَا. If there were any ulama of my ummah, it is these. If there were anyone that was close to the galaxy of anbiya, it is these. He then smiled and he said, you have 15, let me give you another 5. لِيَكْمَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ خِصَالَ الْخَيْرِ. Then Allah completes it by 20. لَا تَجْمَعُوا مَا لَا تَأْكُلُونَ وَلَا تَبْنُوا مَا لَا تَسْكُنُونَ وَلَا تَنَافَسُوا فِي مَا غَدًا عَنْهُ تَزُولُونَ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ وَإِلَيْهِ تَقْدَمُونَ. لَا تَجْمَعُوا مَا لَا تَأْكُلُونَ. Don't gather that food which you won't eat. Don't make your hisab more difficult. Nabi alayhi salam held the hand of Ibn Umar and they walked into one garden. He picked up a date and he ate it. He said, مَا لَكَ يَبْنَ عُمَرْ لَا تَأْكُلْ. Ibn Umar, join me, eat. He said, لَا أَشْتَهِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I don't think I have any inclination now. Nabi alayhi salam said, well, for you perhaps it's a matter of choice, inclination or disinclination. Here it is dead hunger. 4 days have gone, nothing has entered the belly of your Nabi. But let me tell you, Ibn Umar, كيف بك يا ابن عمر إذا بقيت في قوم يخبأ رزق سنتهم. A time is to come on my ummah when one will store the provisions of a year. لا تجمعوا ما لا تأكلون ولا تبنوا ما لا تسكنون. Don't build those homes in which you will not live. My sister doesn't own her roof above her house, while I have a house in Paris and a house in London and a cottage in New York. And one at this beach and one at that beach, only to visit it once a year. And my own blood sister doesn't own a roof. My nephews don't have basic food. Have I done justice to the wealth that Allah has given me? Have I discharged the obligation while I have many assets attached to my name? My own relatives don't have a basic roof. Will I not be answerable to my Creator? لا تبنوا ما لا تسكنون. Don't build something you won't live to see. ولا تنافسوا فيما غدا عنه تزولون. Don't waste your ability in channeling it, in vying and competing with one another in a matter which you will leave. Tomorrow you will leave this year. Don't compete in the trivial things of this world. Focus towards Akhirah. Prepare towards that. That is your ultimate abode. Brothers, wallah, when we look at the current crisis that is staring at the Ummah, as Hazrat spoke about Hudaybiyah, I just want to briefly run you through a few things regarding the life of Sahaba. It is important we relate to those lives and we deduce, we create an equation between our life and we navigate our lives from the way they lived. Hudaybiyah was at a time when there was no loss of health, there was no loss of wealth. The challenge of the hour was the suppression of emotions. That was the price of Hudaybiyah. To preserve Iman at that time was suppressing the emotions. Nabi alayhi salam sees a vision. What is the vision? That he is making Umrah. We know the anxiety that Sahaba had, the desire that they have. He narrates it to the Sahaba. Although the dream was not explicit that it's going to happen immediately. It's human nature. In the night you dreamt about money, you think in the morning it will be there. That's human nature. Whatever dream you have, you want it to materialize immediately. And this was the practice of Nabi alayhi salam. When he had a dream, he would narrate it. In Mishkat Sharif, the first volume on page 75, with reference to Tirmizi Sharif, there is a hadith. One day Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu narrates the hadith. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came late for Fajr Salah. Unlike us, Allah give us hidayat. Today, if the ulama come late for Fajr, Allah forgive. Nabi alayhi salam came late. Sahaba patiently waited. Sayyidina Mu'az said, the sun was about to rise. And suddenly the Nabi of Allah came in. Tajawwaza. Iqamat was given, salah was performed. And after namaz was over, he said, listen, remain seated. Ama sa'uhaddithuni ma habasani ankumul ghadat. Let me tell you what delayed me today. This is also a very big principle of Islam. Ittaqu mawadhi'at tahma. That avoid the locations of accusation. As Muslims, it is not correct for us to conduct ourselves in any way which will compromise our dignity. Mufti Taqi Uthmani Damat Barakatuhum has written, we are obliged to respect the laws of our state. And he said, violation of a traffic light is just not an offense to the law, but is equally an offense to your deen and iman. These are his words. So we should not conduct ourselves in any way which will compromise our dignity, more so in this climate of hostility, when the action of one Muslim is taken to be the reflection of Islam in its entirety. We've got to conduct ourselves with absolute maturity. In a dignified, in a responsible, in a matured way. It is of absolute importance. Nonetheless, Nabi alayhi salam came late. So immediately he cleared the air. He said, let me tell you why I came late. The famous hadith in Bukhari on the occasion of i'tikaf, while he was speaking to his beloved wife Safiya radiallahu anha, and then somebody walked past, so as they seen Nabi alayhi salam in seclusion, so they became uncomfortable, a discreet relation between the Nabi of Allah and his honorable consort, and we happened to pass by, it's awkward, it's uncomfortable, so they hastened their pace. Nabi alayhi salam said, ala rislikuma, stop and pause and come back. Nabi alayhi salam said, just for your information, this is my legal wife Safiya. So they said, oh Nabi of Allah, we will never dare harbor evil against you. Why are you clearing the air? Nabi alayhi salam said, I respect what you say, but let it not be that the devil injects an evil thought in your heart regarding your Nabi. Your iman will be in jeopardy. لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. قد يعلم الله الذين يتسللون منكم لواذا. When the Nabi speaks to you, don't consider it like anyone ordinary speaking. Nonetheless, Nabi alayhi salam said, I stood up in this night. Tawadda'tu, I performed wudu. Sallaytu ma quddira li, and I started performing salah. In my salah, I went into a trance. And in that salah, suddenly I seen my Allah. In the most beautiful appearance, I seen my Allah. My Allah said, Ya Muhammad. In Bukhari Sharif, there is a hadith under the chapter, Babu Salat al-Kusuf. Sahaba say, we were performing namaz behind Nabi alayhi salam, and suddenly he leaned forward. And then he went back. So after namaz, we said, O Nabi of Allah, we've seen your gesture inclining forward. Nabi alayhi salam said, yes, I went into the gardens of Jannah and I seen a branch. And I was about to pluck some dates and some grapes. And if I had to pluck it, لَأَكَلْتُمْ مِنْهُمَا بَقِيَتِ الدُّنْيَا. You would have eaten from that branch till the day of Qiyamah. So I seen my Allah in the most beautiful appearance. My Allah said, what are the angels above you discussing, O Muhammad? I said, I don't know, O Allah. Three times. Then Allah put His hand on my chest. Obviously that is mutashabihat. وَلَهُ يَدَانِ كَمَا يَقُولُ إِلَاهُنَا وَيَمِينُهُ جَلَّتْ عَنِ الْأَيْمَانِ كِلْتَا يَدَيْ رَبِّي يَمِينٌ وَصْفُهُ فَهُمَا عَلَى الْخَلْقِ مُنْفِقَتَانِ. The poet says, وَلَهُ يَدَانِ كَمَا يَقُولُ إِلَاهُنَا وَيَمِينُهُ جَلَّتْ عَنِ الْأَيْمَانِ كِلْتَا يَدَيْ رَبِّي يَمِينٌ وَصْفُهُ. That my Allah has hands as He said and as it befits His majesty. It is only right hands. There's nothing like left in by Allah. And of course it is beyond our comprehension and we accept it as it is, as befits the majesty of Allah. And Allah is spending through that hands on His creation. But nonetheless, as a result of that, فَتَجَلَّى لِي كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. The heavens became exposed to me. The discussion of the angels became apparent to me. Allah said, what are they discussing? I said, oh Allah, they are discussing those actions through which a person's sins will be forgiven. مَشْيُ الْأَقْدَامِ إِلَى الْجَمَاعَاتِ. Walking towards the masajid, sitting in the masjid. And they are discussing the rewards, or those actions by virtue of which a person's rewards will be elevated. Then Allah told me, Nabi alayhi salam is telling the sahaba, Allah told me, صَلْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ. Oh Muhammad, ask me what you want. Imagine you sitting with an officer, you sitting with a president, you sitting with someone there, private, discreet meeting, and he says, what do you want? All the needs of yourself, your family will just come before you. Immediately it will cloud your mind. If you can secure a job here, you can secure this here, you can... Nabi alayhi salam, what dua did he make? Allahumma inni as'aluka fi'al al-khayrat, wa tarka al-munkarat, wa hubba al-masakeen. وأن تغفر لي وترحمني وإذا أردت بقوم فتنة فتوفني غير مفتون. اللهم إني أسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عملي يقربني إليك. Allah, give me the perpetual love of good actions. Allah, let me detest and dislike all sins, Allah. Oh Allah, let me love the poor, associate myself with the poor and die with the poor. Allah, when you decide to test your servants and you decide to put challenges upon them, Allah, love me before those tests comes. Allah, love me before those tests comes. Allah, brothers, we've seen the time that has come before us. While people passionately envy the time of Imam Mahdi, let us not forget that era is coupled with Dajjal. And the fitna of Dajjal is the greatest of fitnas. Ma'ahu narun wa nahrun. We have this notion and we have this wrong perception that when we will see Dajjal, we will identify him by his appearance. So we will see that he is one-eyed. Innahu a'war wa inna rabbakum laysa bi'a'war. So we'll identify and we say, oh, there's Dajjal. This is how he looks. Oh, Nabi alayhi salam told us, oh, let's run from him. Who doesn't know the fitna of this ummah is woman. Who doesn't know the fitna of this ummah is interest. Who doesn't know the fitna of this ummah is zina. Who is abstaining on the grounds of knowledge? I will tell you the harms of interest now. But when you walk in your shop and a businessman comes and he tempts you, forgotten are all the warnings of the hadith. Let us come out of this delusion that on the grounds of the information we have regarding Dajjal, we are protected. Who doesn't know these are fitnas? Which man doesn't know this is haram? Yet the temptation, the demands are overwhelming. Muaz ibn Jabal said, إِنَّكُمْ أُبْتُلِيتُمْ بِفِتْنَةِ الضَّرَّى فَصَبَرْتُمْ وَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ السَّرَّى أَلَا وَهِيَ النِّسَاءُ إِذَا تَحَلَّيْنَ بِالذَّهَبِ وَلَبِسْنَ رِيطَ الشَّامِ وَعَصْبَ الْيَمَنِ فَأَتْعَبْنَا الْغَنِيَّ وَكَلَّفْنَا الْفَقِيرَ مَا لَا يُطِيقُ. You seen the era of difficulty you endured, but I'm afraid there comes an era of prosperity and I doubt you'll able to withstand these challenges. Muaz ibn Jabal is telling, who was أَعْلَمُهُمْ بِالْحَلَالِ. It is those women, with respect to my sisters. It is those women who labisna rifa sham wa asbal yaman, who will insist on wearing the fine garments of silk, the fine silk garments of Sham and Yemen. Fa'atabna al-ghani, they will tire the wealthy husband. Wa kallafna al-faqir ma la yutiq, and they will burden the poor husband which is beyond that wealth which is beyond his ability. They say a successful man is one who can earn more than his wife's pence, and a successful woman is one who can find such a man. وَكَلَّفْنَا الْفَقِيرُ مَا لَا. So, O Nabi of Allah, when you decide to test your ummah, take me away. Nonetheless, the Nabi of Allah seen this dream. Brothers, it is important we refer to these halat. It is important we deduce our guidance and navigate our way through the lives of Sahaba. Nabi alayhi salam prepares the Sahaba and they leave. And Nabi alayhi salam makes it known that our intention is Umrah and nothing else. He makes a general announcement. And he says that we will be leaving. It is Monday, it is the beginning of Dhul Qa'dah. He performs his ghusl, puts on his clothes. From our mother's Umm Salma joins him. He ascends his qaswa, that was his camel. And they leave from Makkah. At Dhul Hulayfa, they put on the ihram. As the kuffar get the news that the Muslims are coming, they decide, they call up an urgent meeting and they say at no cost the Muslims will enter. They decide to dispatch certain envoys in different directions. They send Khalid ibn Walid to a place called Ghamim. And they send the famous tribe of Taif, of Banu Taqif, to a place called Balda. And they said, locate the Muslims, transmit their movements, but we won't allow them into Makkah. As the Muslims advance, Nabi alayhi salam sends Bishr ibn Sufyan radiallahu anhu, that go and see what is happening and come and narrate to me. Bishr radiallahu anhu comes and he says, these people are ready for war. So he comes back to Nabi alayhi salam and said, oh Nabi of Allah, this nation is ready on war. Nabi alayhi salam said, it is sad that wars have destroyed these people, yet they don't want to give up fighting. Wars have destroyed these people, yet they do not want to give up. It is time we come into some common grounds, we negotiate the way forward. Nonetheless, as they advance, they come close to a place. Nabi alayhi salam said, Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu anhu, he comes with his army and he stands at a particular location. Khalid ibn Walid is on the opposite side. Khalid ibn Walid at that time was not a Muslim. As they get there, it's the time of Zuhr. Nabi alayhi salam tells Bilal, call out the azan. Today, namaz is not in our functions, namaz is not in our occasions, and Sahaba didn't leave namaz in battle, and we want that same help of Allah. In the battle of Qadisiyah, the muazzin was martyred. In the battle of Usiba al-Mu'adhinu Yawm al-Qadisiyah. So the Sahaba decided, now the battle, the muazzin has been martyred, who will give azan? Every Sahabi said, I will give azan. It became an issue of contention. No Sahabi wanted to forfeit the honor of azan. In the midst of the battle, while the ferocious, they decided to call up an urgent mashwara. We take pride in the masjid. The contentious issue are who are the mutawallis. The contentious issue is not who will give the azan. Koi hodi la ke apre. The contentious, Allah give hidayat to one and all. The contentious, why? It is my pride to invite to my daughter's occasion. She'll feel insulted if I send a card. It's my pride to the contentious, Allah give hidayat to one and all. The contentious, why? It is my pride to invite to my daughter's occasion. She'll feel insulted if I send a card. It's my pride to invite towards my sons this meeting. But it is an insult to invite towards Allah. So then they decided, they drew up lots. And the one whose name was allotted, he was privileged. Otherwise they weren't ready to part with that. Nabi alayhi salam made dua, Allahumma ghafir lil mu'adhinin. Allahumma ghafir lil mu'adhinin. Allahumma ghafir lil mu'adhinin. Allah forgive the muazzins of my ummah. Sayyidina Umar said, taraktana ya Rasulallah wa nahnu najtalidu ala al-adhani bis-suyuf. It looks like to secure this honor of forgiveness on your tongue, we'll draw swords to give azan. People will draw swords to give azan after you leave us because everybody will want to be forgiven. Nabi alayhi salam said, kalla ya Umar, ya'ti ala al-nasi zamanun, yatrukun al-adhan ala du'afaihim, wa tilka luhumun harramahu Allahu ala al-nar. No, Umar. Don't base those that are to come on this golden era. What you saying, this is my time. A time is to come, the azan will be designated for the downtrodden category of my ummah. And rest assured that flesh is forbidden on Jahannam. وَتِلْكَ لُحُومٌ حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّارِ. So that was the pride. The muazzin was martyred immediately. This is what had happened. The time of salah came, Bilal radiallahu anhu calls out the azan, the salah is performed. Now what had happened, brothers, every time as the Muslims came on this Hudaybiyah, and I'm going to create an equation, as they came to spy, they got exposure to Islamic culture. So you will see, as I will tell you briefly, they came as spies and they returned as Sahaba. They came as envoys and they returned as believers. They came as mal'oon and they returned as radiyallahu anhu. Why? Because they got exposed to Islam. Allah forgive those that are interacting with us and not getting exposed to Islamic culture. We've seen it happening. People went as journalists in certain places and they came out as believers. They went as news reporters and they came out as believers. This is Allah's doings.
So as they were performing salah, Khalid started observing. He wasn't a Muslim at that time, Khalid ibn Walid. Haven't started, brothers, mouth. Khalid ibn Walid. He, after the salah was over, he said, you know what, we missed an opportunity. These people were in salah, when they were in prostration, that was the time to strike. That was the time, but don't worry. I know these Muslims, they'll have another prayer very soon. Khalid ibn Walid is saying. You read there, Allah speaks about the kafir. 9 qualities Allah speaks about him. عُتُلِّمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ زَنِيمْ أَنْ كَانَ ذَا مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ إِذَا تُتْنَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Allah speaks of 9 qualities. Abdullah ibn Abbas says, I don't know if Allah has criticized any kafir in the Quran like this kafir. And in that Allah says, one, he's illegitimate. So he comes to his mother in the Hasha of Jalalain, it is written. He says, إِنَّ مُحَمَّدْ وَصَفَنِي بِتِسْعِ صِفَاتٍ أَعْرِفُهُنَّ غَيْرَ التَّاسِعِ. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has, his Quran has identified 9 weaknesses of minds. I can relate to the first 8. But the 9th one says, I'm illegitimate. Oh my mother, that divulges your infidelity. Speak up, because the Quran of Muhammad will never lie. Speak up, because the Quran of Muhammad will never lie. The Quran of Muhammad says, I'm an illegitimate child. I considered this man as my biological father. But Muhammad's Quran says, I'm illegitimate. So she says, yes, inna abaka kana innina. I could not have children from this very man who you consider to be your biological father, and hence I gave access to another person, and you are actually a child and the offspring of that particular man. And then after that I got married to this man. So Khalid said, no, I know these people will pray very soon. So this was their plot. Khalid at that time was not a Muslim. They made the plot. Immediately Jibreel came down. وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمَ الصَّلَاةَ فَلْتَقُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا أَسْلِحَتَهُمْ فَإِذَا سَجَدُوا فَلْيَكُونُوا مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ. You see in Abu Dawud, the 12 different ways of Salatul Khawf. Full detail explained. That O Nabi of Allah, they plotting to strike in namaz. So be alert, and Allah has made adjustment and concession. That in Salah, one group will perform, one will guard. Anyway, they go ahead. After Dhuhr Salah, they go ahead, they come to this place, Hudaybiyah, the camel of Nabi alayhi salam sits down. Sahaba say, Khala'atil Qaswa. That what is wrong? Imagine the anxiety of Sahaba clouded by this fear. Nabi alayhi salam said, no, Habasaha Habisul Fil. That Allah didn't allow the elephants to go beyond here, that Allah doesn't allow this camel to go forwards. Now you board the flight and then they tell you technical fault. That was the technical fault of that day. Khair, the kuffar took the different locations where there was water. The Muslims, they left them with a place where there was no water. Just imagine Sahaba. You know, we have our local problems, we have our domestic problems, then we have the international crisis. And then we don't know where to fit ourselves in this entire equation. Look at the suppression of emotions, look at what clouded Sahaba, look at their maturity, look at their vision, look at their understanding, look at their priorities. What was clouding, what was resting on their minds? Anxiety of Umrah, I possibly cannot translate in words. You know, when Nabi alayhi salam left Makkah, a Makki verse is a verse revealed before Hijrat. A Madani verse is a verse revealed after Hijrat. This verse was revealed between Makkah and Medina. إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took an unusual path from Makkah to Medina. And then this road joined with the common route going back to Makkah. So when his gaze fell on that road, he became emotional and he started crying. And he looked at that road and he teared. And he made Sahaba cry. And he looked at the road going back to Makkah. He said, Wallah, if they had not compelled me to leave you Makkah, I wouldn't have put my foot on any other lands. Jibreel descended in the journey of Hijrat. And these verses were revealed that Allah who made Quran faraz upon you will soon return you victorious into Medina. So how can words describe the aspiration of Sahaba, the emotion of Sahaba? Anyway, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes there, there's no water. فَأَخَذَ سَهْمًا مِّن كِنَانَتِي. The riwayat of Bukhari, Kitab al-Shurut. Sayyidina Nabi alayhi salam takes out his arrow and he drops it into the water. The water comes brimming up. The water comes brimming up. Sahaba drank, they ate, they seen to everything. The kuffar decided to send the envoy, they sent Budayl ibn Warqa. Budayl ibn Warqa comes, he sits down with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salam said, "Jina mu'tamirin, mu'tamirin. We've come to make Umrah. Inna lam naj' lil qital. We have no intentions to fight. Go back, tell them we are peace-loving people. We have no ulterior motives." Anyway, he goes back, he sits down with the people, he tells them, but every time as they were coming, they were getting exposure to Islamic culture. They were seeing the Muslims how they live. They were seeing the Muslims how they conducted themselves. So he goes back, he tells his people, "Listen, this man is very polite. I think we should give them access into Makkah." They said, no, we don't need to hear stories like this here. This is not what we want to hear. Go from here." Budayl ibn Warqa left his people and he accepted Islam. They decided to send the second person, Urwa ibn Mas'ud. Urwa ibn Mas'ud comes. What love Sahaba had for Nabi alayhi salam. Urwa ibn Mas'ud sits there, and then he starts talking to Nabi alayhi salam. And as he's talking to Nabi alayhi salam, فَأَخَذَ بِلِحْيَتِهِ, he held the beard of Nabi alayhi salam. Mughira ibn Shawba pushed his hand. And he said, "Listen, you talk with respect. Listen, you talk with respect." Allahu Akbar. Zayd ibn Su'na, we know who was a Jewish rabbi. Long story is very long. Just briefly, I run you to one point through it. Anyway, he came, he was studying the life of Nabi alayhi salam. A lot of people are studying the lives of the Muslims today. Lot of people. Now when I was in Australia, there was a group that wanted to base themselves at that masjid, an official group that were coming from some organization. And they said, "We want to stay in a Muslim house and we want to stay in a Muslim mosque. And we want to just make more common Muslim culture and make known to people. You know, what are Muslim beliefs? How do they conduct themselves?" Now you ask yourselves, can we say, all right, go to this masjid or go to that house? Whereas in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, a captive came and he said, "I was tied to the pillar, and when I walked in that mosque, there wasn't a man I hated more than Muhammad, and by the third morning there wasn't a human I loved more than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam." There wasn't, in 3 days, what was that environment in 3 days? In taqtul taqtul dha damin wa in tunhim tunhim ala shakir. Nabi alayhi salam asked him, "Uthama, Thumama, what do you have? What's up? What's your take?" He said, "Listen, if you kill, then my blood won't be cheap, revenge will take. But if you overlook, I guess you'll be acknowledged and you'll be appreciated." Nabi alayhi salam said, "Atliquhu, listen, release him." He said, "Take me to this man, I want to accept this deen." In taqtul taqtul dha damin wa in tunhim tunhim ala shakir. So Urwa ibn Mas'ud comes, he sits down. But when he sits down, the riwayat of Bukhari, he gets exposed to the culture of Nabi alayhi salam. And he gets more impressed. His focus goes away from the negotiation and he gets captured by how they are conducting themselves. He goes back to the people, he said, "Listen, before I report on a different note, man, what a disciplined nation, man. What a discipline. On a different note, before I tell you what developed on that, before I tell you about my legal interaction and my development and my economic ties and all those other social, political strengthening, let me tell you, wallahi ma tanakhama nukhamatan illa waqa'at fi kaffi rajulin minhum fadalaka biha wajhahu wajildahu." Listen, when that man only intends spitting, there are 100 to grab his saliva. فَدَلَكَ بِهَا وَجْهَهُ وَجِلْدَهُ. They take the hand and they smear it on their body. وَإِذَا تَوَضَّ أَكَادُوا يَقْتَتِلُونَ عَلَى وَذُوئِهِ. When he performs ablution, they fight for that water. وَإِذَا أَمَرَهُمْ إِبْتَدَرُوا أَمْرَهُمْ. When he commands, they respond. وَمَا يُحِدُّونَ إِلَيْهِ النَّظْرَ تَعْظِيمًا لَهُ. They will never dare lift their gaze. They will never dare lift their gaze. You know, it brings me to the incident of Sayyidina Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, who is known as the Fatih al-Misr, who conquered Egypt. And this is something for us to reflect over, brothers. We all have a dark past, we have a gloomy past. Allah forgive us. Allah forgive us and Allah protect us. Allah protect us onwards. وَإِذَا خَلَوْتَ بِرِيبَةٍ فِي ظُلْمَةٍ وَإِذَا خَلَوْتَ بِرِيبَةٍ فِي ظُلْمَةٍ وَالنَّفْسُ دَاعِيَةٌ إِلَى التُّغْيَانِ فَاسْتَحْيِ مِنْ نَظْرِ الْإِلَهِ وَقُلْ لَهَا إِنَّ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الظَّلَامَ يَرَانِي. When you are sitting in seclusion and your ego provokes you towards sin, then remind yourself that Allah, who has created darkness, is fully observant and watching what I have done. وَإِذَا خَلَوْتَ بِرِيبَةٍ فِي ظُلْمَةٍ وَالنَّفْسُ دَاعِيَةٌ إِلَى التُّغْيَانِ فَاسْتَحْيِ مِنْ نَظَرِ الْإِلَهِ. Sayyidina Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, speaking on the aspect of respect of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We claim to have respect. I often say, we cannot understand the love that Sahaba had for Nabi alayhi salam for the simple reason, we haven't loved any human to the extent that Sahaba loved Nabi alayhi salam, never mind loving him so much. I haven't loved my parents, nor my wife, nor my children. I haven't tasted love to the extreme and the extent that Sahaba enjoyed with Nabi alayhi salam. So how can we relate it to anyone? How can we create a misal or a parable? I can't say they love Nabi alayhi salam like how you love your wife, or like how you love your this one, or you love that one. We cannot. Today Allah forgive also, you know, person say he loves his wife, but Nabi alayhi salam said that the youth will never enter Jannah. Who is the youth who doesn't mind strangers speaking to his wife? They say this father went to buy a horse, so he's petting the horse, you know, very gently and everything. So the son asked the father, Dad, you're petting the horse, what is it? He says, no, my son, I want to buy the horse. So when you buy it, you pet the animal. He says, oh, then I'm afraid the neighbor wants to buy mom. I'm afraid the neighbor wants to buy mom. What has happened to this ummah that it introduces his females to strangers? You're proud over your car. You're obsessed over your properties. You're obsessed over other things and your woman folk, you leave them. لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ ذِرَاعًا بِذِرَاعٍ حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا جُحْرَ ضَبٍ لَاتَّبَعْتُمُوهُمْ قَالُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ فَمَنْ. You will follow those that preceded you to such an extreme that if they entered a lizard hole, which is totally contrary to logic, which contradicts sanity, but because they did it, you will do it. The youth will never enter Jannah. Where is the pride of this man? So the love that Sahaba had is unparalleled. Anyway, Sayyidina Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu says, in the throes of death, Allahu Akbar, in the throes of death. What a death, brothers. We don't know. Allah grant us a good death. Allah grant us a good death. As the poet says, O Allah, in taghfir taghfir illahumma jamma. O Allah, if you forgive, forgive all our sins. And habli fil madinati mustaqarran wa rizqan thumma dafnan fil baqi'i. Allah, make me amongst the fortunate people. Ilahi najjini min kulli dhiqin fa anta ilahuna mawla al jami'i. Allah, forgive me from difficulties. You are my guardian and the guardian of humanity. Ilahi najjini min kulli dhiqin fa anta ilahuna mawla al jami'i. Habli fil madinati rizqan, habni fil madinati rizqan thumma dafnan fil baqi'i. Bless me with sustenance in Medina and ultimately make me amongst the fortunate people who sleep beneath the soil of Medina. Sayyidina Amr ibn As is in the throes of death. His son comes there. He drops his head on the floor and he tells his son, the son consoles the father, oh my father, Allah gave you what a life, what an enviable life. Jannat is yours. I don't know how many times Nabi alayhi salam said, myself and Amr ibn As, myself and Amr ibn As. Oh Nabi of Allah, oh my father, you are on your way to Jannah. So he said, listen, my son, listen. That is not all to my life. There is something to my life which you know not. Inni kuntu ala atbaqin thalath. There was a period of my life which you know not. Qad ra'aytuni wa ma min an-nasi min ahadin abghadhu ilayya min rasulillah. There was a period of my life which I hated the Nabi of Allah the most. Falaw mittu ala tilka at-tabaqa lakuntu min ahli an-nar. If I died in that time, then I was destined for Jahannam. ثُمَّ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْإِسْلَامَ فِي قَلْبِي. Then Allah put Islam in my heart. فَأَتَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I sat in his company. I told him, أُبْسُطْ يَمِينَكَ. O Nabi of Allah, give me your right hand. This riwayat comes in Muslim also, this portion. Nabi alayhi salam took out his hand. Then I pulled my hand back. I said, O Nabi of Allah, I will accept Islam provided Allah forgives all my sins. Provided Allah forgives all my sins. Allah, brothers, sometimes I sit, I think, I cry, I ask Allah, how often do we think about what will happen to us when we stand before Allah? أَهْلُ اللَّيْلِ فِي لَيْلِهِمْ أَلَذُّ مِنْ أَهْلِ اللَّهْوِ فِي لَهْوِهِمْ. Someone said it so beautiful. The pleasure the pious derive in disturbing their nights and making dua to Allah is greater than what youngsters derive in the heart of a club with a strange woman on the lap and a bottle of wine in the hand. We've tasted the fake pleasure, it's time we taste the true pleasure. He says, when I came to Nabi alayhi salam, I loved him so much. I used to sit in his company every day, just on the aspect of respect. فَلَوْ سُئِلْتُ أَنْ أَنْعَتَهُ مَا أَتَقْتُ لِأَنِّي لَمْ أَكُنْ أُتِيقُ أَنْ أَمْلَأَ عَيْنَيَّ إِجْلَالًا لَهُ. I used to sit daily in his company, but if somebody had to ask me, Amr, describe Nabi alayhi salam, I would have told him, I'm afraid I don't have the courage to lift my gaze to that blessed face. Sahaba had Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Abd Rabbihi, whose name comes in the chapters of Azan. When Nabi alayhi salam passed away, he came to the Kaaba. After he said, oh Allah, he made dua to Allah, oh Allah, these eyes were good to see your Nabi is gone. Let it be that the last sight was your Nabi. Oh Allah, snatch my gaze. Allah seize my sight. فَكُفَّ بَصَرُهُ. Allah took his sight away. so that the last he saw was Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. Khair, anyway, Urwa ibn Masud goes back to the people. He says, you know what, allow the men to make Umrah. They say no. He also accepts Islam. They send a third person, Ibn Alqama, no negotiations. They send a fourth person, nothing comes. That's when Nabi alayhi salam decides to send Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Nabi alayhi salam gave him two tasks, as Hazrat explained in great detail. I want to explore the one. Nabi alayhi salam told him, go to Makkah, negotiate a safe passage for Umrah, and then go to the poor Muslims that are suffering in Makkah, and tell them that our du'as are with them, and tell them to patiently endure the difficulties that are coming upon them. Soon Allah will make an opening for them. And today we make du'a for the Muslims across the globe, and we convey to them the sentiments of Nabi alayhi salam, that wherever you are, my brother, in whatever difficulties that are coming upon you, persevere and patiently endure. Do not desert your Nabi, do not forsake your Iman, do not abandon your deen. Soon Allah will make an opening with izzat and respect and dignity. Sayyidina Uthman goes, and as he comes, Abban ibn Sa'id takes him in, and he also accepts Islam. One after the other, they were accepting Islam. And as Maulana explained, in the interim this happened, the rumor regarding the assassination of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu is then returned safe. Look at the emotions of Sahaba, the delay in going for Umrah already. The price of preserving Iman is different at every juncture. And at this time, Allah Pak, there was a time when they had to give their health and wealth. And there were time when they had to suppress the emotions. Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Sulul, we know, the leader of the Munafiqeen, his son Abdullah was a genuine Sahabi. He comes to Nabi alayhi salam, he said, O Nabi of Allah, balagani annaka turidu qatla Abdullah ibn Ubay fima balagaka anhu. I was informed that you intend killing my father because of what he's done. I don't have any objections. You, what you feel is right, that is your choice. I only have one request. فَإِن كُنْتَ فَاعِلًا مُرْنِي أَحْمِلُ إِلَيْكَ رَأْسَهُ. If what I heard is correct, you leave that task to me, I will behead him and put his head in your lap. Not because I hate my father, Allah knows I love my father. But what was it? I'm afraid out of my sentiments, you'll give this task to someone else, respecting me because it will be emotional. That person will promptly comply to please you by killing my father, becoming beloved in your eyes and hated in my eyes, which I don't want must happen. How can I hate someone you love? How can I hate someone you love? That man will kill my father. فَلَا تَدَعْنِي نَفْسِي أَنْ أَنْظُرَ إِلَىٰ قَاتِلِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ ابْنِ أُبَيْ يَمْشِي فِي النَّاسِ. My emotions won't allow me to see the murderer of my father walking around. I'm a human. I'll be captured by sentiments. The only way out of this dilemma is you leave it to me. I can't hate myself. I behead him and put his head in your lap. Before Nabi alayhi salam could answer, Jibreel answered in the form of Quran. لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهِ. You will not find the true believers befriending those that are at enmity with Allah, even if they happen to be their own fathers and their brothers. The riwayat of Abu Dawood, Nabi alayhi salam passes by the house of one Sahabi, he looks at the wall, he says, whose house is this? Sahaba said, understood the symptoms of disapproval. The next time he passes by, it's level with the ground. He asked the Sahaba, there was a house here. So, O Nabi of Allah, we mentioned to the man that you weren't very happy, so he leveled it with the ground. Nabi alayhi salam took out, last week one brother came to me. He says, Maulana, I'm selling my TV and I've decided to get it out of my house. Now, I just have one thing to ask. Me and my wife were arguing, can we use the money? So, I want a ruling from you. So, he says, I said, all right, first tell me what's the value. He said, I got two. One was a big shaitan, that was about 10,000. That one is a mini shaitan, that one is only about 2,000 rand. So it's about 12,000. But anyway, I want to get rid of both. On the spur, Allah put this hadith in my mind. I said, listen to one hadith, then you decide. Nabi alayhi salam seen a sahabi, he had a gold ring in his hand. Nabi alayhi salam said, Ya'midu ahadukum ila jamratim minan nar. Some of you want to keep flames of Jahannam on their hands. So Nabi alayhi salam took it out and dropped it. Then Nabi alayhi salam went away. Someone told him, khud wan tafi'. Listen, Nabi alayhi salam is gone. Take the ring. You can keep it. Give it to your wife to wait. You don't have to wait. Sell it. He said, la akhudhuhu wa qad tarahahu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Listen, let it lie and let it go. When my Nabi has detested it, why must I touch it? What must, I told him, give it and let it go. Don't make profit out of it. Don't make money out of it. Let it go from your heart. Let it go from your heart. So the emotions of Sahaba, in this entire incident. Anyway, Khair, Urwa ibn Mas'ud, we spoke about Urwa ibn Mas'ud, he accepts Islam. As they continue, Budayl ibn Waraqa comes, he returns, Urwa ibn Mas'ud. The few of them came in this interim, but nothing happened. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu returns, as we spoke about it. And after Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu returned, there was such calmness, there was some form of understanding. Suhail then comes. This is the critical juncture. Suhail ibn Amr. And he comes, Nabi alayhi salam says, looks at, لَقَدْ سَهُولَ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ. There's some hope here. Suhail ibn Amr comes, Nabi alayhi salam says, alright, bring the paper, let's sign the documents and wrap up this whole thing. As the paper is brought, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, right, this is an agreement between Allah, between the Nabi of Allah and the Kuffar of Makkah. So the first argument was, right, in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. So Suhail ibn Amr says, we don't consider Allah to be kind and merciful. You don't write that, you write in the name of Allah, leave your fancy titles. Leave your fancy titles. So Nabi alayhi salam said, alright, just erase it. Sahaba said, no, Nabi of Allah. Sayyidina Ali said, oh Nabi of Allah, how can we compromise? Nabi alayhi salam said, just be calm. We need to move ahead here. You see how their emotions were tested. As I was mentioning, the price, what does Iman demand from us now? What does Allah want from us now? Mawlana Ibrahim Dewla gave a beautiful example. That today it is jazba. It is not obedience. So what happens? A man is going for Umrah. He's going for Nafil Umrah, mashallah. Going for Nafil Umrah because there's a buzz of Umrah. But he's missing for his namaz. So it is the deen of jazba, not the deen of compliance. He's not out to obey Allah because the tickets are cheap. Because there's a good package available. Not out of the love of Makkah, not out of the passion of meeting Nabi alayhi salam. Hence he comes to Makkah and Medina and he doesn't respect those places. He comes that close and he doesn't respect. So Nabi alayhi salam says, erase it. Nabi alayhi salam said, show me. Nabi alayhi salam erases it. Then they write in the name of Allah. Then Nabi alayhi salam says, right, this is an agreement between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the kuffar of Makkah. They said, لَوْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مَا صَدَدْنَاكَ عَنِ الْبَيْتِ. Our argument is, you're not a prophet. So erase that. The temper started flaring. Sahaba's emotions went high. Sayyidina Umar said, if that's the attitude, the sword will decide. Nabi alayhi salam said, calm down. We need sanity to reign, not emotions to dominate. We need sanity to reign, not emotions to dominate. Understand, what's going to help the situation? What's going to benefit the situation? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, okay, show it to me. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam erases it, and he said, I am the Nabi of Allah, even if you choose to deny. وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. While they choose to deny, your prophet would tell them, O Muhammad, we testify, Yasin والقرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين. You are amongst the prophets. You are amongst the prophets. As they busy deciding this year, then they say, look here, you cannot make Umrah this year. Whatever happens, you go back. Sayyidina Umar got up. He said, oh Nabi of Allah. Now, what's up here? Nabi alayhi salam said, calm down. Nabi alayhi salam said, allow us, we'll make Umrah in 3 days, we're out. They said, no, Umrah is a non-negotiable issue. Nabi alayhi salam said, and then we are accused that we don't want to have peace. And the world says, we don't love peace. You show me which nation in its history has bent down and has been so flexible to bring about peace and to bring about serenity on this earth other than Nabi alayhi salam and the Sahaba. We are not peace lovers. This is our history. This is our tariq. At any cost, Nabi alayhi salam agreed, as long as the laws of Allah are not trampled, we will have peace. We will come to common grounds. In this condition, Abu Jundul radiallahu anhu comes. يَرْصُفُ فِي قُيُودِهِ. In his shackles, dragging himself. And he drops himself at the mercy of the Muslims. And he says, O Muslims, while you return with Nabi alayhi salam to Medina, uraddu ila al-mushrikeen wa qad ji'tu muslima, will you allow your naked eye to see me going back to Mecca once again to be subjected to the worst form of torture? Brothers, you see footage and you start crying. You see footage. Allah make it easy for the Muslims across the globe. You become emotional. You cannot contain yourself. Sahaba sitting here. The Kaaba is kilometers away. The entire matter is clouded. The kuffar are not budging. And Abu Jundul before them. Can words describe the emotions of Sahaba? Can words describe the emotions of Sahaba? What went through them? What provocation? What stirring? But yet how they had contained themselves. What control amongst them? Nabi alayhi salam said, listen. And the father, it is Abu Suhail, he's the father. Nabi alayhi salam said, Suhail, allow Abu Jundul. One exemption. He said, Muhammad, if you talk of Abu Jundul, we scrap this entire agreement. Nabi alayhi salam said, I humbly implore you. He said, the next time you speak, I cancel this. Nabi alayhi salam said, Abu Jundul, I've tried my level best. But for now, there isn't much opening. Persevere and patiently bear. Soon Allah will make an opening for you. Can we imagine at that juncture what went through Sahaba? Umar radiallahu anhu, who we know when Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a had only divulged the secret of Nabi alayhi salam regarding the invasion of Makkah, and through revelation in Surah Mumtahina, Nabi alayhi salam was informed. And when he came before Nabi alayhi salam, he said, Nabi, Dani Adrib Unukahad al Munafiq. Oh Nabi, well, let me behead this man now. Nabi alayhi salam said, Waqad Shahida Badran. Umar, he's a Muslim, he's a Sahabi, he's a Badr participant, slowly. Can you imagine what went through Umar now? It is time the Ummah understands what Allah wants from us. It is time we do that which will bring us close to Allah. Emotions never help, they never will help. Let sanity reign and let compliance to Allah and His deen come about. Emotions, and then we cannot get up for Fajr, carrying weights, and we cannot carry the blanket. Brothers, it's time we come onto itaat. It's time we come onto the obedience of Allah. Anyway, the entire thing was wrapped up. And then Nabi alayhi salam told the Sahaba that, alright, now shave your hair. Not one Sahabi stood up. Umm Salma took him. Subhanallah, oh my mother, oh my sister. If you only know the talent Allah has given you, you are that very person who rescued a Nabi and the greatest of Nabi in such a critical crisis. At this confusion, it was none other than Umm Salma who took Nabi alayhi salam and said, listen, your Sahaba don't choose to disobey you. It's just that last wee bit of hope that they're going to make Umrah. Once they shave, it's over. They latching onto that last bit. But what I do suggest is perhaps you shave your hair and then they will understand and they will comply. So Nabi alayhi salam's hair is shaved and the Sahaba comply. The riwayat of Bukhari says, حَتَّى كَادَ بَعْضُهُمْ يَقْتُلُ بَعْضًا غَمًّا. They were so eaten up, they were so torn apart, they were so finished, they felt like, you know, choking one another. They didn't know which way to turn. And that's not all, the test is not over. They return from there, no Umrah, total agreement to the kuffar. Abu Jundul goes back in that pitiful condition, everything surrendered. They barely leave and Jibreel descends. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Liyaghfira laka Allahu ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhar. O Nabi of Allah, we've given you open victory. Umar said, O Nabi of Allah, I need 2 minutes of your time. Can I take you aside and talk to you? Nabi alayhi salam said, what is it, Umar, talk? He said, O Nabi of Allah, let me get my facts in order. Let me understand reality here. Alasta Nabi Allahi haqqa? Can I reaffirm, are you Muhammad the Nabi of Allah? Nabi alayhi salam said, yes, I am the Nabi of Allah. Alasna alal haqqi wa hum alal batil? Are we not following the truth while they following falsehood? Nabi alayhi salam said, you're right. Alaysa qatlana fil jannati wa qatlahum fil nar? Am I correct in saying those that died on our side are martyrs while those that died on the opposite side are in Jahannam? Nabi alayhi salam said, yes. He said, O Nabi of Allah, then where is the victory and why have we humbled? Falima nu'tid daniya? Why have we succumbed? Why have we given in, O Nabi of Allah? Nabi alayhi salam said, O Umar, I am the Nabi of Allah and I'll never disobey him. I am the Nabi of Allah and I will never disobey him. Brothers, in one riwayat I read of Kanzul Ummal, Sayyidina Umar said, it was so painful for me. لو أن النبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر علي أميرا فصنع ما صنع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما سمعت ولا أطعته. If the Nabi of Allah had to make someone else in charge on this critical juncture and this bitter peace treaty, and that particular leader and Amir had to conduct himself like how Nabi alayhi salam did, I would have never able to hold my horses. I would have never able to control myself. I would have openly told him, you know what, I can't listen to you. But it was the Nabi of Allah, and hence I had to contain myself. And subhanallah, as Maulana mentioned, even in this apparent mistake of Umar, there was wisdom. Allah had his plan. Scholars write, that there hasn't been any campaign or any treaty which led to more people accepting Islam than the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah. No battle, no agreement. What was the vision of Nabi alayhi salam? What was the integrity? What was the maturity of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? It wasn't long after that that Allah brought that picture. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, where people came in droves in deen. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, the riwayat of Bukhari, أَعْمَلْتُ لِذَٰلِكَ أَعْمَالًا, when I gained my consciousness and my emotions settled down, and I realized what I was saying, and I realized to who I was talking, that I raised my voice before Nabi alayhi salam. I said, Umar, you taking the courage to raise your voice before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, for the rest of my life, I regretted, I lamented, and I freed slaves and I gave charity. But in the end also, I'm afraid that when I stand before Allah, if Allah tells me, Umar, you raised your voice before my Nabi, I have nothing and no one to shelter me. Brothers, these were Sahaba. Ulaika abai faji'ni bimithlihim ya jariru idha jama'atna al-majami'u. Really, our life has to come unto deen. I was addressing a group of youth and I told them that before we get the wrong conclusion why the help of Allah is not coming, Sayyidina Umar at this critical juncture, certain questions filtered through his mind, certain things bothered him and hence he revealed it to Nabi alayhi salam. Before certain things bother us and we wonder why and how, what's the delay despite such great challenges, go and see where the youth of this ummah is congregating this very hour and you will know why the help of Allah is in delay. Go and see, my brother, Allah be my witness, you will cry if you have a shred or a thread of iman. Go and see how my brothers are dressing. Go and see how my sisters are dressing. Go and see how they reveal in their modesty. And go and see how they attract in Allah's azab. Maulana Abrar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, while the world is boasting that now they've invented the aircraft and they are traveling at this speed, let them not forget they have now contaminated the air of Allah also with guna. So zina is taking place in mid-air. Wine is being consumed in mid-air. While it is an innovation and it is a contribution, let them not forget it is also a form of contamination. They contaminated the land. Now even the air is contaminated. I was flying back from New York one day. It was the 31st of December, 1st of January. I was sleeping. Nobody really flies. 12 o'clock, they started celebrating in mid-air. I thought it was turbulence. 12 o'clock, and they went on American time and South African time. So double New York. Mid-air. Go and see where the ummah is congregating. Wallahi, you will know why this ummah is going through such strain. Really, brothers, this ummah has taken a lot of strain. You know, father telling his child that my son, my health doesn't permit now for me to see you being disobedient. I cannot handle the shock. I can't handle the pressure nor the tension. Wallah, the hour on this ummah is so dark, is so critical. Unlawful entertainment was ever forbidden. But in the current crisis, I don't see leeway even for lawful entertainment. When this is the order of the day, and the land of Iraq still drinks the blood of my children, and the land of Palestine still drinks the blood of my sister, do you still find time sitting at haram places? Do you still find time wasting your time behind this game and that game? How will we answer before Allah? It is time this ummah stands up. It is time this ummah forgets its internal bickering, embraces one another, makes its goal common, and that is to obey Allah Ta'ala. We make dua to the Almighty Allah that He make it easy for the Muslims across the globe. Wherever the Muslims are, Allah Ta'ala make it easy. It is time we reflect Islam. Again, let me categorically say, we have no hidden agenda. We have no hidden plans. وَلَا تَصُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَصُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. We respect people from other faith. We show them, الْخَمْرُ لَهُمْ كَالْخَلِّ لَنَا وَالْخِنْزِيرُ لَهُمْ كَالشَّاتِ لَنَا. Show them what are the teachings of Nabi alayhi salam. Show them the honor, the respect. And you will see, as I've always said, we don't need to beautify Islam. It has its natural beauty. Yes, we have to undo the contamination we have put upon it. We don't need to polish it. It has its natural sparkle. It has its natural attraction. The last thing with which I always conclude is, if we cannot become ambassadors to this deen, let us not become obstacles to this deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.